Welcome to the Rock Church and World Outreach Center. We pray that this message will strengthen and encourage you. Now here's a message from Pastor Jessica Roth.
Amen. So, you know, we've been talking a lot, and this has been a year for our family. As you can know, we've been going through a transition, just a little one, you know, just a little transition. And if you don't understand, my parents were the founding pastors of the Rock Church and World Outreach Center, and they are my heroes. They are the reason you can come into this beautiful building, because their prayers. I remember getting up in the morning and going, what is that noise? It's 5 o'clock in the morning, and there's a whole bunch of loudness over there, and I'd go down the hall. It's just mom and dad praying again. And you know what they were praying for? They were praying for this day. They were praying to see this building filled. They were praying to put these seats in this auditorium. They were praying for this ground to be good ground to be sown in. And so I believe that God is ordaining the next generation now. I believe that God is pushing and transferring some new things into the hearts for your children, your children's children, and your children's children's children. And I believe God wants to take us to new levels. Transition isn't fun. And during transition, do you know what happens? There's a lot of fighting. You're like, oh, we're gonna get the juice on what's going on with the family. Listen, the family is in love with each other. We absolutely adore each other. My dad and my mom are my heroes. My brother is one of my favorite preachers in the whole entire world, Pastor Luke. I miss him and Stacy so much, I almost just can't wait for them to get off the plane. And you know what? I am excited to see, because you know, the enemy wanted to, during this transition, steal our joy. The enemy during this transition wanted to steal the house of God and everything my parents worked so hard for. In this transition, he wanted to bring division. He wanted to bring strife. He wanted to bring family circumstances that weren't going to be. But can I tell you what happened in this transition? We learned to love bigger. We learned to expand our capacity outside of ourselves. We learned how to restore relationships in a way that's only the God way, and not the worldly way, but the God way. We learned how to submit ourselves and to come under submission to the authority that God has placed on whoever it is God put in our spot. We have learned some incredible things, but I'll tell you, one of the biggest things I've learned is forgiveness. Because in transition, maybe not the family, but people. People say things. People compare. People hurt. People make little jabs, and things start to happen. And your heart all of a sudden wants to just get a little harder. Do you ever find yourself building up little walls around your heart and going, you know what, I'm not gonna let you in. I'm not gonna let you do that to me again, because I'm stronger than that. And you know, after a while, you start realizing that bitterness is starting to begin to settle in your heart. And some of you in this room have not dealt with some unforgiveness issues. You have been in unforgiveness towards your abuser. You have been in unforgiveness towards your spouse. You have been in unforgiveness towards your parents who have abandoned you at a young age. You have been in unforgiveness, listen to this one, to God. You're mad at God. And I want to say to you, tonight is a night of breakthrough. Can I get some water, Dan? Tonight, the Holy Spirit wants to do something new. This always happens to me, doesn't it?
Yep.
My big mouth. Excuse me. I've been praying that the Lord would do some supernatural things inside of us, that we would see signs, miracles, and wonders in this church again. I believe that when we see the power of God, we can't deny his word. And this is what the Lord told me. He said, if you want those things, you have to deal with your issue of unforgiveness. And I said, but God, I have. He said, yes, you have. Now it's time for you to talk about it. You see, I was abused as a young girl. I was in a very, very unhealthy relationship. The abuser ended up beating me up and literally almost killing me. You say, no, not you. No, it really happened. And I remember being a very broken young girl sitting in a women's conference in 1998, trying to hide out in the back and hope that nobody noticed pastor's daughter. And I remember telling the Lord, I can't forgive myself, so how can I even come to you? And he said, let's walk through this together. And the Lord began to take me on a journey of forgiving myself. Some of you don't like yourself. Some of you say, I've made some really bad decisions in my life. Things that have led me down paths I never wanted to go and places I never wanted to see. Many relationships, I just keep having the most unhealthy relationships over and over and over again. And then it just builds up and builds up and builds up. And I become a hard-hearted person. And I'm never happy. I'm broken and I'm hurt. And I don't know how to get past it. I was that girl sitting in the way back hoping nobody noticed. But do you know who noticed me? The Holy Spirit. And the Holy Spirit knows your name. He knows your hurt and he knows your number. And he says, it's time to deal with it. It's time to get past it so that I can release you into destiny, so that I can release you into your purpose and your call, because each and every one of you are special to him. Each and every one of you have a purpose and a plan for your life. And just because someone has hurt you, just because maybe you've made some bad decisions, maybe somebody has let you down and not been there for you, and you don't know how to get past the pain and the hurt and the unforgiveness of it, God says, oh, I am going to walk you through it. I am going to take you down that path of forgiveness, because on the other side of our forgiveness, guess what happens? There's freedom. There's freedom. And as the Lord began to minister to me as a young girl, he walked me through many, many, many levels of forgiveness. First, it was myself. And then it was all the other people that had said things about me. And then it was the hardest one, the abuser. I remember sitting in church, a healthy Christian now, and the Lord said, it's time to release him. And I said, oh, I did a long time ago. I ain't going back to that ever. And he goes, that's not what I'm talking about. And he said, you need to forgive him because his soul needs to know who I am too. And he deserves to know me one day. That was hard. Who wants to forgive somebody who has hurt you, who almost killed you, who put you in positions that you should have never been in? Who didn't honor or respect you as a person? You see, that's true forgiveness. And the Lord spoke to me, said, I forgave you. I'm asking you to forgive them. And I did. And as I took that journey of forgiveness with the abuser, you know what happened? God began to open doors. And I'll tell you, a month later, Dan walked into my life. Right. A month later, Pastor Dan walked into my life. Now I have like the most amazing husband in the whole entire world. And I just every day go, seriously? I don't even think I deserve this. But God says, when you walk in forgiveness, I then can put you on the path I always had created for you. Forgiveness stops us from moving forward. Forgiveness stops us. It's weights. And then you take it on, you take it on, you take it on. Maybe there's someone in your world that's just buffeting you. Oh man, they say something, they just bug you, and you just go, oh, you know, I'm just going to say something one day, but I'm being a good Christian. I'm not going to say nothing back. But you know what's happening? Your heart's getting harder, and your heart's getting harder, and your heart's getting harder, and bitterness is building up, and it's becoming a root, and it is robbing you, not them. It is robbing you from the presence of God. It's robbing you from your destiny. It's robbing you from breakthrough in your family. It's robbing you in your children's blessing. Listen, we are connected to the King. We are the authorities in our house as parents, and what we do with the Father does reflect on our children. Take it seriously. They're watching you. They're watching us. Let's be better parents for them. Let's forgive when it's not easy to do. And then let's teach them how to do it. Because there's things in their hearts that have already built in there. And you have to learn as a parent to sit down with them and say, oh, let me help you walk through that forgiveness because I had to. Let me help you get those things stripped off of your heart because the Lord wants to do some things inside of you. And you see, you will get to pastor your own children. You will get to be a voice of light in the darkness of their days because you have been broken free. And you say, well, I don't understand. You see here, we're going to read about it in 2 Corinthians. And let me set this up for you. The Apostle Paul is talking to the Corinth church in this scripture. And he's telling them a lot of things, but he waits until the end for this one passage. And I thought it was interesting. He goes on and tells them all the good things. And then he says, let's talk about how you're dealing with each other. Let's talk about how harsh you are with each other. So can you guys go there with me? 2 Corinthians 2, 6 through 11. And it says, this punishment which was inflicted by the majority, is sufficient for such a man. Back then, they would punish people in the church when they would do something wrong. So as a body of Christ, they would get together and they would, you know, think about ways, and if somebody sinned, there would be a punishment. And he's saying, whoa, whoa, whoa. It's too much. Verse 70 says, so that on the contrary, you ought rather, he's saying, instead of punishing them, you'd rather forgive and comfort him. Least perhaps such a one be swallowed up by too much sorrow. A lot of times when somebody hurts you, they're actually hurting too. Did you know that? Hurting people hurt people. People that have been through hell themselves and haven't seen anything good end up hurting other people because it's a pattern that has been going on probably most of the time, generation after generation after generation. But when you ask Jesus to come into your heart and be the Lord and Savior of your life, did you know that you have a new power in him? Did you know that you are a new creation? And that when those things, those generational things of hurt after another, after another, after another are there, you as a Christian can say, no more. That generational thing, I will not hurt my children. My children will not hurt other people. We will not allow this to be something that's a roadblock in our lives and for the future to come. You see, when you finally say enough is enough, that's what happens. But as a church body, when someone hurts you in the house, and when I say the house of God, because see, we are brothers and sisters. And let me tell you something, we're all human, so we're all gonna say dumb things to each other, okay? And this is what God is saying, don't take it so hard. Don't punish them so much that they put themselves into a deep sorrow. My son Titus, let me tell you about my little guy Titus. He's 6 years old, he's the last child, he's the baby of the family, and every time Titus does something wrong, I'm like, Titus, why did you do that? You should not have done that. And if I even put my voice just like that, he just crumbles. And then he got to the point where he started punching himself. And you think, yes, you're an abuser, Pastor Jess. Like, I mean, seriously, me and Dan were like, gosh, like, what in the world? We can't even tell the kid not to do something. And he's like beating himself up. And the Lord told us, that's wrong. That's self-pity. And that is a way of manipulation. And I go, well, God, you know, like, I don't want to not pay attention to him. He's having a really hard time. And he's like, do not let him get away with this. And I told Dan, I don't know what to do. And so he kept doing it and kept doing it. He was beating himself up over and over and over again. Do you know anybody like that? They do something really stupid. They hurt you over and over and over again. And then all of a sudden, they're just so sorry about it. They're so sorry. But sometimes we find this in the abusive cycle. Many times when we're counseling women, we're like, don't let him talk his way back in because it's just going to happen again. It's this abusive cycle. And that is the same thing. God says, do not allow them to get the point of such sorrow that they're not actually learning from what's happening. Titus wasn't listening to us. He was just automatically going into manipulation mode. And you see, I believe God wants us to not go there as a church. But God wants us to be safe enough with each other where we could say, you know, you were wrong in your sin. And I can confront you on it because I'm your brother, I'm your sister, and it's not okay that you hurt me. It's not okay that you hurt those people, and you're wrong, and you need to repent. But then when they do repent, what is God asking? God's saying, then I need you to come alongside and love them so that they're not in a deep sorrow and they can't continue on in their relationship with the Lord. All of a sudden, you'll hear things about people leaving churches because they were so hurt. And sometimes I wonder if there was just maybe that deep sorrow and nobody came alongside and rebuilt and restored them. I don't want the Rock Church to be like that. Let's come along and let's help people get to the next level of love. Let's help people get past because we show forgiveness. Let's help them get past forgiveness for themselves. Let's not put people down so bad that they can't move on and you know, come out. Have you ever been that person that, like, when I was younger, I was a really big mouth. Well, I've always been big mouth, but I was like a gossip. And so like, I really got excited about people's stories. And so then I would go tell somebody, oh my gosh. And I would think it was a good thing. I never did it in ill will, but it got known around my family. Jess is a big mouth. Don't tell her anything because you don't want anyone to know, you know, and if you want somebody to know, don't tell Jess. And you know, I just remember thinking, I am going to change that. I am going to not do that anymore. So like the week I started doing it, I'll tell you, everyone in the whole world was like, don't tell her nothing. You know, and I'm like, I have said nothing all week, you know? And then it got to the next point, the next week and the next month, and I was like, I did good and nobody notices, you know? Have you ever been that way? And nobody notices. The people closest to you are the first to condemn you. Let's not be that, church. Let's be the first to notice the goodness in people. Let's be the first to show forgiveness. Let's be the first to welcome them back in. Verse 8 says, therefore I urge you to reaffirm your love to them. For to this, the end I wrote, that I might put you to a test whether you are obedient in all things. Ooh, whenever I hear it's a test, I want to pass that test. I don't want God to pass me up and go, well, she didn't do a good job. We're going to start back at the drawing board again. You know, there's times that as a boss now, there are things that I ask certain people to do. It's very interesting being the boss and not like the second man, like always just doing it. It's weird being the boss. So I'll just let you know that for your bosses, just give them a little grace, okay? Because it's a new level to walk in. And as a boss, I remember I asked one of our employees, they're not in this room, don't worry, to do something. And I remember they're like, okay. And they didn't do it. And I got irritated. I was like, really? Like, so then I went back and I asked again, oh yeah, I forgot, okay. And then they didn't do it again. And I started to get bitter, and I started to get mad, and I started to get angry. And you know, the Lord doesn't want us to get bitter and angry and frustrated, but God wants us to honor each other and to bring alongside. You know what the Lord told me about that? He said, go talk to them and explain to them why it's important for them to do what they're doing and explain to them what's the right way to respond. And so I did. I had a conversation with this person. You know what they said? They said, wow, thank you for teaching me. So I was getting an unforgiveness. I was ready to just throw them out, kick them out. We don't need them anymore. And God's like, whoa, 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 girlfriend. Like, you need to teach them what it is that you want. Instead of getting mad and angry and not have understanding with them, you need to love and forgive and graciously teach. And you see, that's the way God is asking us to be with each other as a body of Christ. I felt like I passed that test because I heard the Spirit of God and I was able to teach some new things to this person because, you know, maybe I had gone through the ringer and I learned those things, right? But they hadn't yet. So sometimes, listen to me, older generation, when you're dealing with the younger generation, and you wanna say, well, those millennials, they don't know nothing. You know what? They're made for their generation. They're made for their time. They're made to relate with the next generation. And God is gonna use them at their capacity and where they're at, just as God used you in your capacity where you're at. And so instead of us not having understanding with each other and allowing frustration to get into the body of Christ, let's pass the test of love and forgiveness and mercy, and let's be what God has asked us to be as a church. Can we do that with each other? Let's pass that test, buddy. Verse 10, and now whom you forgive anything, I also forgive. For I indeed, I have forgiven anything, and I have forgiven the one for the sake in the presence of Christ. I forgive because God asked me to. I forgive because he forgave me. That's why we forgive. Verse 11 is a scary verse. Verse 11, lest Satan should take advantage of us, for we are not ignorant of his devices. When we choose to not look at our hearts and a reflection of our attitude in a situation, and we allow bitterness to get into our heart and to deceive and manipulate our thought patterns, you know what happens? We give place to the enemy. We give him room to grow and to lie and to deceive and to bring bitterness and unforgiveness into relationships and family, and it becomes a divisive spirit, and sometimes you end up being the divisive person and you don't even know you're being used because we've given place in unforgiveness. God is serious about us forgiving each other, isn't he? Yeah. There's a lot of things attached to it. In Luke 11, 4 through 5, it says, "And forgive us our sins." The Lord's Prayer, you're supposed to pray it every day. He wants us to say this every day. "And forgive us our sins, for we also forgive everyone who is indebted to us. And do not lead us into temptation," here we go again, "but deliver us from the evil one." I don't want the enemy lurking around and thinking he can play with me or my family. I don't want him in your lives, in this church's life, over my husband or my family. And so do you know what happened in this transition? Pastor Jess had to hit my knees, and every time my heart wanted to get hard, and every time something hard was said, or every time something not right wasn't done, you know what happened? I hit my knees and I said, "God, I need you to show me what's in my heart right now. And I need you to help me to love bigger than I want to love right now. God, I need you to help me forgive if there is a root of bitterness trying to bury itself into my heart. Because, Lord, I want to be pleasing to you in all things." You see, those are the prayers of the righteous. Those are the prayers that will availeth much. Those are the prayers that God looks down and he says, "Oh, I'm coming to your rescue." You see, David, he knew God, King David. He knew him. He was in the field with the sheep, and he spent every moment of the day with God. His heart was connected to God. But David, as he grew and God had anointed him, he stepped away and he did some foolish things, didn't he? He committed adultery and murder. But I'll tell you one thing about King David. He was so repentive. He was so longing to have that connection with God again that he humbled himself at the feet of Jesus. And you know, God still said about him, "He's a man after my own heart." You see, I want to be a daughter after God's own heart. I want to be someone God can say, "Okay, so she screwed up, and I know that she's not perfect. But I'll tell you something, she's going to check herself and make sure not unforgiveness is not going to ruin her family, her church, her husband, or anything else." So what God is asking of me, guess what? He's asking of you. So you have family events coming up pretty soon. We got some Thanksgiving coming around the corner here. We got some Christmas. And you're going to see those family members that it's easy to avoid, but you know, once a year, you got to be around them. And God is saying, "Let's deal with your heart before you even get there. Because you'll be able to receive them in a better way, in a smoother way, no matter what they do, no matter if they ever say sorry to you, no matter if they ever acknowledge what has happened, it doesn't matter, because you and God and before God, your heart will be clean and pure, and you will have forgiven them and God can forgive you, and they're gonna see the love of God flow through you in a way they never have before, but that is a choice you're gonna have to make." Someone once made a comment to John Wesley. John Wesley was a great man of God. They said, "I never forgive." With a quick reply, I love this. He said, "Then, sir, I hope that you never sin." Wesley, quick-witted, responded in highlights of the truth. This is it, only that we are willing to forgive others that God extends his forgiveness to us. We cannot afford to not forgive. Because if we don't forgive, God will not forgive us. It says that in the Word of God. You're going, "That is harsh. I thought he was a God of love." He is. But he also gives us ways to walk our life out. And if we are not attentive to what he's asking, and if we're not willing to look at our hearts and say, "Okay, Lord, then what is it that you need me to change?" Then we are never going to reach a new capacity. You're never going to reach a deeper understanding. You're never going to see your family members saved because you're so busy over here being bitter and in unforgiveness that God can't even get through to you because you're stubborn-headed and you're hard-hearted. That's not how God operates. He loves the soft-hearted. He loves those that love him. He loves what you love. But if you love what God loves, guess what? There is favor happening. There is love released. There is relationships restored. Maybe you've come from a family where your dad abandoned you when you were young. I know that's a loss that nobody can replace, but you know who can replace it? Not one human person, but Jesus Christ can. Because he's your Father in heaven and he loves you so deeply. That he was the one that formed you, and he was the one that created you. He's the one who gave you a purpose and a destiny. You should never try and find your identity in human things. Because when we do, we will always fall short. We will always be quick to be in unforgiveness. We will always compare to those things that are less than, because these earthly bodies fade away. These messed up hearts are tainted. But when we keep our eyes, like Pastor Dan preached about today, on Jesus, the Father, the maker of heaven and earth, all of a sudden unforgiveness is an easy thing to do because it's part of our DNA, because we're starting to look more like our Father. And so when someone jabs us, or when someone hurts us, or when someone abandons us, or when someone says something they shouldn't have said, you know what we can do? Okay, well, I'm going to choose to love you and forgive you anyways. And you see, it is not saying that what they did is okay. It's freedom for you in releasing them back into the hand of the Father. Let me clear this up for some of you, because some of you are in some unhealthy relationships. And you think, well, if I forgive, then I got to go back into that unhealthy relationship. That is in no way 100% what I'm saying. Yeah. Just because I forgave my abuser, would I never go back to that relationship? Do you understand me? So do not make that or give that a permission for you to get back into some ungodliness. God is calling you into goodness, but you need to forgive, let go, release, and you do not have to stay in those arenas any longer, okay? That was just a side note, because sometimes people kind of twist it around and the enemy will use it to justify. Okay, Pastor Jess, so God wants us to forgive. If we forgive, he forgives us. How do I even begin to forgive? Because I'm so hurt. Because there's things are very deep-rooted, and these things are things I don't know how to release and I don't know how to let go of. And God says, all right, there's a couple things that you have to do. Number one, you ready? He says, you have to make the choice to forgive. Sometimes you just don't want to. You don't want to give them that. They don't deserve my forgiveness. It's like this like thing that you get to hold on to over their heads. Like, ooh, they're never going to get the best of me. And God says, no, no, no. The first step is to choose to forgive. Choose to forgive the foolish comment. Choose to forgive the abuser. Choose to forgive the parent that failed you. Choose to forgive the boss that said some stupid things or maybe hurt you or fired you. Choose to forgive. When you begin to make a choice, I believe all of hell goes, oh no. Oh no. Wait a second, they just really made that decision. Now it's really gonna come down the pike. We are in trouble. We don't have control anymore. And I believe they start to shudder, like, oh no. Wait, they just made the choice to change some drastic things. Because if we can't keep these people in unforgiveness, then guess what happens? Their hearts are gonna be open to some new things that God wants for them. They're gonna become real weapons against us. You see, when we begin to choose, the first step is just to make the choice to do it. You have to get past yourself. In Luke 17, 3 through 4, and I'm going to read out the Amplified because I just love the Amplified. It says, pay attention and always be on your guard, looking out for one another. If your brother sins and misses the mark, solemnly tell him so and reprove him. And if he repents, feeling sorry for having sinned, forgive him. And even if he sins against you 7 times a day and turns to you 7 times to say, I repent, I am sorry, you must forgive him. Give up resentment, I love this, and consider the offenses as a recalled and annulled circumstance. That's just, I'm not going to hold you in the bondage of unforgiveness any longer. I choose to forgive. I choose to release you. I choose not to be frustrated. And guess what happens? It's not even them that actually benefits from it, it's you. Because when you carry unforgiveness, I wanted to bring all the weights from our weight room. Not that we really use them, but we have them. And I wanted to like put them on. Because you know, somebody says something to you and it becomes a weight. You know, you have the abandon or the resentment or whatever, and that becomes a weight. You have the unforgiveness towards God because something didn't happen the way you thought it should have. So you're mad and you're in unforgiveness towards God. That's a weight. And all of a sudden, you become the hunchback of Notre Dame and you just can't function in life any longer. You know what happens? When you choose to forgive, all of a sudden you're throwing that weight off. And you're throwing that weight off. And you can stand up straighter. And you can hear God again. And you're no longer closer to hell, but you're closer to heaven. Because you're in an upright position, ready to do what God's asked you to do. Take the weights. Choose to recall and annul the unforgiveness. I have a cute story about a boy and a duck. Do you want to hear about it?
Yeah.
A little boy was visiting his grandparents and was given his first slingshot. He practiced in the woods, but he could never hit his target. As he came back to grandma's backyard, he spied out her duck. On an impulse, he took the aim and he let it fly. The stone hit and fell, and the duck was dead. The boy panicked desperately as he hid the duck in the pile of wood, and only to look up to see his sister watching. Sally had seen all, and she said nothing. But after lunch that day, Grandma said, "Sally, let's wash the dishes." But Sally said, "Johnny told me that he wanted to help in the kitchen today. Didn't you, Johnny?" And she whispered, "Remember the duck." So Johnny did the dishes. Later, Grandpa asked if the children wanted to go fishing. And Grandma said, "I'm sorry, but I need Sally to help me make supper." Sally smiled and she said, "Oh, that's all taken care of. Johnny wants to do it." And again, she whispered, "Remember the duck." And Johnny stayed while Sally went out fishing. After several days of Johnny doing both his chores and Sally's, finally, he couldn't stand it any longer. He confessed to Grandma that he had killed her duck. This is how Grandma responded to him. "I know, Johnny," she said, giving him a hug. "I was standing at the window and I saw the whole thing. Because I love you, I forgave you. But I wondered how long you would let Sally make you a slave." Listen, unforgiveness makes you a slave. God already paid the price on the cross that day when he died for your sin. And when you allow yourself to not be immovable, and when you allow yourself to bring it to the light and bring unforgiveness and love back in, Grandma had already forgiven him, but he was the one walking as a slave. Let's not be slaves in this house any longer. Let's release unforgiveness and let's move past what God has for us. Number one was, remember, you have to choose to forgive. Number two, you have to choose to shut up. You're like, "Well, she said shut up in church." You know, we're not allowed to say that in our house, Pastor Jess. Sorry, we say it in ours. We're a little rough around the edges. And, you know, honestly, when someone hurts you, when something is happening over and over and over in your life, guess what you need to do? Zip it. You need to zip it. Now, that was hard for me. Remember, I was the big mouth, so I'm not up here preaching what I'm not asking you to do. But you need to zip it. Because when you go out and you begin to talk about the situations that are happening, you know what happens? It becomes like a sword that cuts. And it brings division in the relationships of the other people around you. Because then they're going to want to take your side, or they're going to form their own opinion about the matter, or they're just going to be, somehow you have now involved them in your foolishness. And God says, zip it. Stop talking about it. Don't make a deal of it. Don't curse what God wants to bless. Do not use the enemy to be a person who brings division. Do not be that person. Allow the blessings of God to flow through the situation. Maybe the situation is not healed yet. Maybe the situation, you're working to it. You're getting through it. You're going to be in the heartbeat of God. Let me tell you what to do at this time. Shut your mouth and hit your knees. Shut your mouth and hit your knees. When you can pray for the other person, guess what happens? You can't hate them any longer. When you can pray for the other person, you can't dislike them any longer. When you pray for another person, all of a sudden, you begin to have like the heartbeat of God. Oh, wait, that's a concept, right? Like, I usually don't like them, but now I'm going to see them through God's eyes. And you begin to walk down a new path of forgiveness. And you begin to walk down a path of blessing and not cursing. God wants us to, Proverbs 17:9 in the Amplified says, "He who covers and forgives an offense seeks love." I want to be a love seeker. "But he who repeats and harps on a matter separates even closest friends." Listen, if you know there's things going on in the body of Christ and people are coming to you about it, you're just as responsible as a person complaining to you about it. We need to be accountable to each other to say, you know what? Have you talked to them about it? Have you prayed about it? Should be our first thing we say. And when you say that, you know what happens? They feel a little dumb because they're Christians too. And they're like, oh, no, I have not prayed about it. And all of a sudden, there's this accountability thing going on. And guess what? If we're accountable to each other and we can trust each other to speak the truth in love, then I believe blessing will flow from that. And you know what? You can say, I'm having a hard time right now. Something was going on in my heart, I don't know, a while back. And my mom was saying some things to me, and I said, listen. And I was irritated. And I'm like, listen, lady. I don't need to hear that right now. I was irritated she was telling me what she was telling me, you know, like, you need to make it right. You need to fix that. And I'm like, I don't want to fix that. I don't want to make it right. And you know what the Lord said? He said, it's okay to say that. I'd rather you be honest about it than to not be honest and say something stupid. And I said, okay. So I looked at my mom. I said, just give me some time because I'm working it out in my heart. And do you know what happened? Not even like 2 days later, I was fine. Because I had to go to the throne room. I didn't want to talk about it. Because when I talked about it, it made me angry and it brought back all of those offenses and the frustrations. But then when I went to the throne room and I had to get with God because he wouldn't leave me alone, he likes to wake me up in the middle of the night and say, hey, you didn't deal with this, let's talk about it. He woke me up and we dealt with it. And I asked him, God, I don't know how to get past this. I don't know how to not be frustrated in this situation. I don't know how not to be unforgiving because I'm so irritated with this person. And he said, you know what? Let it go. Quit making a big deal about it. All of a sudden, it didn't even, you know, God can say it and it's fine. But if somebody else says it's annoying. So, you know, just tell the other person to go pray about it, okay? Because you're just going to be the annoying person to them. But you can still say, go pray about it. Because one thing my mom did say was, deal with it. You need to deal with it. And I was like, you're right, I know, and I'm going to. But I needed some time and I needed some space and I had to be honest about it. But I wasn't going to talk about it because I just knew nothing good would come out. Okay, so let's zip it, let's cover it with love, let's choose to forgive, let's be quiet. Number three, let's choose to be compassionate. Let's choose to be compassionate. Sometimes we don't want to be compassionate towards somebody that we do not like. But when you've already chosen to forgive, okay, now remember, we're walking through a series of things. So you can't choose to be compassionate at first. First, you have to choose to forgive. Then you've got to choose to be quiet about it and hit your knees, right? And then you can choose to be compassionate. Because then my prayers begin to change. And they begin to be like, okay, God, now that I'm forgiving them, show me how to love them when I get annoyed. Show me how to be around them when I'm in a room and I'm uncomfortable. Show me, God, how to be in a conversation with this person and not be fake. Because Pastor Jess is really big about being fake. Did you know that? You kind of get what you get with me, you know? So like when I feel like somebody's being fake, I'm like, please just be real. I can't handle it. That is a lot of times my prayer is just, God, help me not to be fake because I never want to be fake. But then in my honesty, I can be rude. And God says, that's not compassion. Because compassion isn't rudeness. And so I'm up here saying, God's working on me, and I believe God's gonna work on you too, because I know that if I'm walking through it, he's walking us through it. And we need to begin to see through the eyes of compassion. Jesus had compassion. He was moved with compassion for people. He didn't see their sin, he saw their blessing. He didn't see their sin, he saw their destiny. He didn't see Paul. You know, Paul was a terrorist. Paul killed Christians. But yet God had compassion on him, and Paul got saved and became the number one man in the Word of God to preach the gospel, tell the nations about him. You see, God can use anybody. So before we go judging them, let's begin to see them through the eyes of compassion, because God has a call for them, and God has a purpose for them. And just as my abuser, maybe I don't want to be around him. Thank you, Jesus, I haven't had to be. But I do believe God has a call for that person. I do believe God did create them and he wants good things for them. Maybe you have an ex in this room and you're like, oh, my ex is like horrible. I do not like him. You're in unforgiveness. You need to deal with some things. Because as long as you hold on to that bitterness and that unforgiveness, you will never be able to move forward. Compassion has to be at the core of this because God moves with compassion. So if we expect to move through life beautifully, we have to take on the heart of God, and the heart of God shows compassion. In Ephesians 4:32, it says, "Be kind and compassionate to one another, forgiving each other, just as Christ forgave you." Listen, I'm a hot mess. I've done a lot of stupid things. But I have a God in heaven who said, "It's okay, baby girl. Get back up. I have something for you to do. I need you to get over it. I need you to move past it. I need you to grow up and mature. I need you to be who I'm asking you to be. I need you to say what I need you to say. I need you to be obedient and compassionate to other people." You see, God says the same thing to you. He says, "I forgive you. I loved you. It's big. This is a big forgiveness. This is a big love. And I need you to be compassionate just as he was." Patty Davis was the daughter of Ronald Reagan. And she said that her dad made a lasting impression on her in the day after his assassination attempt in 1982. She said, "The following day, my father, Ronald Reagan, said to her that he knew that his physical healing was directly dependent on his ability to forgive John Hinckley, the one who tried to kill him. By showing me that forgiveness is the key to everything, including physical health and healing, he gave me an example of a Christ-like thinking." You see, how we show ourselves, how we respond to situations, is how our children are going to see us. And guess what happens? Your kids will start to respond the way you do. Your grandbabies are watching you, and they're going to respond the way you do. Your neighbors are watching you. They know you're a Christian and they want to see how you're going to react. Are you going to react in frustration and anger? Are you going to react in love and compassion? Are you going to be moved for the things that God has moved for? Is your heart going to go and long and seek to show compassion on others? God is asking us to get outside of ourselves, to choose to forgive. It's hard to do. Totally hard. But once you do, guess what happens? It releases favor and blessing of God. Releases the favor and blessing of God. I believe that it swipes the rug right out from the devil's foothold. All right. I believe that he's standing there and thinks he has ground with you, but as soon as you begin to forgive, now you don't have any ground, do you, sucker? You know, you got to get in his face. You can't give him any place, guys. You can't let him play around in your mind. You can't let him play around with your family. There's been generation after generation of hate and deceit in your families. You be the one that stops it from this time forward. You be the one that says, "I'm not going to allow that any longer in our family." And you hit your knees tonight. Get together with your husband and ask for forgiveness for your mouth, ladies. We can be naggy. You're like, "No, she did not go there." I love my girls. Hear my heart. I love the women in the house. I mean, I just adore you. I believe women are God's secret weapon. But I do know that we can just go. And sometimes we need to zip it. And we need to allow God to get into our husband's hearts. And you need to hit your knees and ask God to reveal some things to your husband. Now listen, men. Don't be leaning over and be like, "Yeah." Because you need to quickly forgive her. And then you know what you need to do. You need to come and you need to show compassion to your wife. Maybe she needs a little bit of love. And you know, she's been a little bit in unforgiveness because she feels like you're a little cold and it's all about you. Listen, start to talk to each other tonight. Says, "Man, she's dabbling in our lives. I wish she would just shut up." I'm a woman. And I'm a nurturer, and I'm all about family and relationships. So we're going to deal with it, okay, church? Because when we allow the enemy to get into our marriages and into our children's lives and into our homes, that's his first defeat. And then everything around you will fail. Get it right. Let's make it right tonight. If you have to go home, if you have to look into each other's eyes and say, "I've been wrong. I've been holding grudges towards you." You need to fix those tonight. Maybe there is an in-law. Maybe there's an ex-husband. Maybe there's an ex-wife. Woo, if you could just tell her how you feel. It's not what this is about. This is about, maybe you need to go write her a letter. You need to say, "I release you. I'm not going to keep this bitterness and unforgiveness any longer. And I'm going to choose to love and show compassion towards you. Now listen, do not give them the letter. Okay? Breaking free over here is like, amen. God wants to do some new things inside of us tonight, and I believe that we have to be honest enough to say it's there. So what I want you to do, okay? Write this down. This is homework. You get homework in church. You all thought you were done with school. Nope. I want you to, this week, get with God. Whether that's whatever time, choose to spend some time with the Lord and ask the Lord, God, what is it in my heart that I need to forgive? Who is it I need to go to this week and I need to make it right? If that is an unhealthy relationship, do not go to them, just deal with it by yourself. Did you know you can do that? Did you know that you can deal with that unforgiveness with you and God? You do not always have to go to someone and say it, but listen to me. If it is a brother and a sister in the house of God, you need to go and make it right. And you need to say, I've been a little frustrated with you. I need you to forgive me. Because I believe God wants to do something in both our lives and we need some freedom. God wants to do new things. And so you guys promise me you'll do your homework? Husbands and wives, choose to love big. Choose to show compassion. Forgive your children that have not served God and given you a really big headache. Because God has a plan for them. Sometimes you want to get mad at them. I've taught them right. I led them down the way of righteousness and they're sinning and they're not serving you. Listen, don't be mad at them. Show compassion towards them. Keep your heart pure before them. And you know what? God's going to save your children because God loves them more than you do. They're just on loan to us, guys. Our kids are just on loan to us. They're always His. And let's choose to forgive each other tonight.
Thank you for listening to the Rock Church and World Outreach Center. If this message spoke to you, please share it with us. We'd love to hear from you. You can find more information at www.rockchurch.com.